America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Hi, I'm Angela Peabody of Global Woman Peace Foundation, and I listen to America's Meditating Radio Show.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland, offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
Hi, this is Reverend Sylvia Sumter with Unity of Washington, D.C., and I'm here just to tell you how much I love listening to America Meditating with Sister Jenna. It's a fabulous show, fabulous guests, wonderful readings with Sister Gita. It's enough to feed your soul. It's a delight to the spirit.
My friends, reach out and touch someone's hand. That's the incomparable Diana Ross. Remember her? She's still alive and thriving, and I'm so happy to know that, because back in the days with such sort of a talent, it was real talent. And I'm not saying that talent today isn't, but it's just that it was just so real from so much. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. And we're off to a start here. 2016, huh? 2016 years later, have you been able to get it? Have you really gotten it? Have you realized that no matter how different someone is, love still is the cure? Have you also accepted that even with your own limitations, to get out of your limitations, that love is the cure? Have you accepted that perhaps in our last moment in life, that the last breath that we take, it is one of unlimited love, so that wherever my next destination will be an entry of love. It sounds so simple. Four letters. L-O-V-E. Love. Love. The soul is love. God is love. We are love. And we find ourselves in karmic situations where it becomes the last item on the list to use, especially at the time of need. Why does that happen? Stay tuned. We're about to have a wonderful discussion with life coach Aura Nadrich, and we're looking forward to our time with Aura. And before I get her on the line, I'd like us to do what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio Show, and that is to meditate, to find a way to think the right kinds of thoughts, to enter into a space of awareness. So from my Off to Work meditation CD, which you can get on iTunes, I'd like to play you this morning, Calm. Breathe in deeply.
Wise men tell, lost in confusion of words.
Message Home by Bliss, and hope you enjoyed Calm from my Off to Work CD, which you can get on iTunes. Life is a journey, and no matter what we have done or where we have been, know, accept, and love who you are and where you are. Because if we don't, please don't turn the attention onto someone else to do it for you. It's too much pressure. Perhaps one of the reasons why our relationships are so challenged is if we're not accepting and loving where we are in the game of our lives, then why is it that we need to keep imposing it on someone else? I'm not quite sure if that's really healthy in the long run. Well, the America Meditating Radio is proud to welcome Aura Nathrich. From an early age, Aura, a certified life coach and mindfulness meditation teacher, had always been a seeker of knowledge, with a particular interest in questioning how our thoughts work. She is a frequent blogger for the Huffington Post on mindfulness and leads workshops on living mindful life. Now, Aura was an actress, screenwriter, and she worked on many films. She's done lots of television and commercials for more than a decade. But during that time, Aura simultaneously embarked on a two-decade psychological and spiritual journey towards self-awareness and personal transformation. Now, Aura's got a new book out entitled Says Who? How a Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. And today we welcome my dear friend back, Aura Nathrich, to the America Meditating Radio Show. Hi, Aura. Happy New Year.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So congratulations on your new book, Says Who?
Thank you. I love the way you say that.
How
that
lilt.
I love that.
Right? So it's true. Questions can really change your life. And I have to tell you, coming from a Eastern and Western culture, you know, being half Indian and half African, on my Indian side, we do raise questions in our path of worshiping or bhakti, but when it comes to the upbringing, you never raise questions. You listen, you follow, and that's it. But I do know that the importance of raising questions actually begin to open up particular areas in the soul that might be dormant and which really do need some attention. So please tell me a little bit about the book and what inspired you to write it.
Well, what inspired me to write it was, it was a sort of a culmination of things happening in that, as I talk about in my introduction, I had a very tragic incident happened in my family, and it caused me to go into a fear state. And what that did is it had me, as we do when we're in a fight or flight state, is a lot of our thoughts come to the surface and they rush forward in our mind out of fear. And as a result of that, I thought something that ended up not being true. And, you know, when we're frightened, our survival feels very threatened, obviously. So it was a thought that came forward in my mind. It caused me tremendous fear and tremendous suffering. And I didn't know that for quite some time because I was just feeling the effects of a thought that I had somewhat pushed away. And it wasn't until years later, I mean, as you described and explained, I went on a very extensive psycho-spiritual journey, and I was a seeker, and I wanted to know. I wanted to know what makes us who we are. I mean, that's a very loaded thing, as we know, and it set me on this very in-depth journey, and I knew that I was feeling anxiety and a lot of things because of this one thought And it took me a very long time and a very in-depth analysis to come face-to-face with that thought. So I worked through it, and it took a while, and it was a lot of work, and it was very deep for me. And it wasn't until years later, when I became a life coach, that I started to see a pattern in my clients that was really interesting to me. And what that was, that many of them had a thought that was with them for quite some time that they had held on to. And like myself, it wasn't necessarily conscious, because we can bury a thought in our subconscious. And what I started to see in my clients is that many of them were walking around with a thought that would come up out of the blue in our sessions together. And inevitably, that was a thought that some of them had carried for a very long time, which had caused them suffering in the same way that my thought had caused me suffering. So all that to say, I was in a session with a client when she shared her story with me, and she was on a very upwardly mobile trajectory of starting a new career. And everything looked very positive on the surface. She was very creative. She was a very she had been a successful businesswoman in the past, and she had this new business idea. And there we were in a session together, and all of a sudden something blurted out of her mouth that was so negative and so fear-based. Mm-hmm. And I go into it in the book. I don't want to, you know, give it all away, but I will say this, that she said something that was completely of two minds. Here was her very positive, straightforward, proactive mind about to start a new career, and then she blurted something out that was completely fear-based, undermining and diminishing of her goal. And that's when I had this light, you know, I had my own aha moment where I thought, oh my gosh, this reminds me of what I went through. And it took me so many years to find that truth. And here she was in my presence, and literally what popped out of my mouth when she said what she said, I said, says who? Who is saying that thought in your mind? Yeah. And that was the genesis of the book, really.
Don't you love that aura? You know, I think that's where, as we are amplifying and, I would say, maturing into our spirituality, and I always advocate this in the classes and courses at the museum, you know, don't think that you've done your 20 minutes of meditation in the morning or in the night, and that's your spiritual contribution. You don't know when it'll happen, but you've got to keep putting in something in wanting to know more about yourself or giving more to yourself, because you don't feel right, you don't feel true, you don't feel real, and you refuse to live like that until you take your last breath. And so I always tell folks, your spirituality emerges when you're walking and moving around, not when you're sitting having a meditative moment and you're choosing to be, you know, in your spiritual space. So I really want to amplify that to our listeners, because exactly, here it was a very interesting scene for you, and here it is, you come out and say, says who? And can you imagine what was going on in your consciousness when even you said that to her?
Right, yes, exactly. It was very illuminating in that, you know, here she was, as many of us are, you know, wanting, the desire is there for a life that is full of richness and truth and authenticity, and yet sometimes there's this thing that weighs us down and that pulls us away from that, as you know so well, Sister Jenna. And so, yes, it was really extraordinary when that happened.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the approach that you take in this process. Your work is based on the principle that while we all face obstacles and negative thoughts in our lives, right, it's not enough to just simply examine them and just be aware of them, but we've got to almost challenge them in order to bring about some sort of a deep change in our being. So could you share with our listeners some approaches that might help somebody who's listening today to make that shift and really start to say to themselves, says who?
Right, exactly. Well, yes. First of all, they say that we think about up to 40 to 70,000 thoughts a day, which is pretty extraordinary that we've got all these thoughts floating in and out of our minds daily. And many of them don't serve our well-being. And so the idea of questioning of negative or fear-based thought really is based on that we know it's a given that we're going to think negative things. It's part of the thinking process, and that it will come up. And I'm not advocating that, oh, just keep thinking positive thoughts and positive thoughts will keep on happening and positive things will keep on happening. Although I do subscribe to, yes, keep your thoughts as positive as you can. But what do we do when a negative thought comes up, which it invariably will? And what I say in my book is, be the observer first and foremost, that if you can become aware of that thought when it comes up and be able to observe it like you're a witness of it. Okay, I've got this negative thought that's coming up for me and it feels very real for me and it's making me feel anxious and it's making me feel frightened and it's making me feel angry. Whatever it evokes in you, if you can start with that to observe it and not to react to it. And by being the observer, you can really look at it more closely. You can be able to then question it and then challenge it and find out, what does that thought want from you? What is that thought wanting to tell you? Because I believe all of our thoughts are trying to convey something to us. Do you know? So if you can start as an observer, as I said, and begin with that, that really sets the tone for the questioning.
It does. Now, there's something that is stopping all of us from really responding to that thought. And would you say that is fear? And what is fear, Aura?
Yes, I do believe it's fear, because I mean, think about it. When something comes up that is, you know, negative or fear-based, what does that feel like when it comes up for us? You know, how does that feel in our body? You know, we've all felt that fight or flight feeling, which is what I felt when I had that thought that came forward in my mind. And when those thoughts come up, we do feel frightened, and I do feel that it's fear-induced. And that when we're frightened, and why we're frightened, well, that could be for a myriad of reasons. We're frightened because we don't think we're going to be okay. We're frightened because we do feel that our survival is at risk. We're frightened because we think we're going to fail. We're frightened because we fear that we're not going to be loved. I mean, there's so many reasons that really create this fear within us, and then it's connected to that thought. You know, the thought and the emotion and the behavior, it's like thoughts create emotions, create behavior. It's all connected. So I do feel that it's absolutely fear-based. And if we can even observe that and be able to recognize it and acknowledge it and say, I'm feeling frightened right now. I really feel my fear. Let me look at that. Let me be with it. What am I so afraid of?
Why is fear in everyone? Why is it that it's such an epidemic, and the turnaround is also, the energy of God is also in everyone?
Yeah.
However, why is it that it seems, when we look in the media's eyes, that fear seems to be so much more of the major narrative? What's going on with that?
I love that question. I think it's really an old program. I really do. I feel that it's an old way of thinking, and we're evolving so quickly, and the understanding of love and connectedness and oneness. I mean, the beautiful work that you do, Sister Jenna, I feel that, yes, we always see two things existing simultaneously, fear and love, and that, you know, they don't seem that they're synonymous. But I do think that it's a lot of the old way of thinking, and that we are moving towards a new way of thinking. And that a lot of the old way of thinking doesn't work anymore. And that keeping fear alive and keeping that as this sort of dominant energy on the planet, if you will, yes, of course, fear is valid and it's legitimate and there's reasons to be frightened. But I think that when we let it grip us and we let it dominate us, then we give it power. And the light and love is way more powerful, I believe. And, you know, why being the observer, I think, is so important, not to quickly react to things out of fear, because then we succumb to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about owning our thoughts, that can be powerful, because many of us get into the habit of owning thoughts that are not to our betterment. So where does owning our thoughts come from? Is that from the whole energy of attachment? And why is it that we tend to find it such a challenge to transform hate or disappointment or something that happened to us that was really in the negative. Why is it so hard for souls to forgive and move on when they know it's ultimately the only thing they need to do in order to live fully?
Well, I think that, you know, my seven questions that I ask that are very simple and they're very straightforward, and that holding on to what's familiar, as we know, is something that a lot of us do, is that we hold on to what's familiar to us because we don't really know what to replace it with, and we're frightened of the unknown. And I think if you're really addressing that you're ready to let go of thoughts that don't serve your well-being, and that even thoughts that you've taken on that are not your original thoughts, that have been taught to you or told to you, that do perpetuate judgment and not forgiving and hatred. I mean, so much of that is learned, do you know? So it really can stop with us. If we question and challenge those thoughts that have been perpetuated from who knows who said the original says who, do you know that all of the things that we've seen historically that have come down the pike that keep hatred and prejudice and all of the things that just separate us from one another. If we ourselves can ask that question, and also in the book I do talk about owning our thoughts, and one of the ways to describe owning is to be honest with yourself.
Right.
Own your judgment. Own your feelings of hatred. Own your feelings of prejudice. Own them. Look at them and question them and challenge them and ask them, says who? Who is saying that thought in your mind? Where did you get that thought? Where did it come from?
Right. And, you know, one of the interesting things is how the media perpetuates us to hold on to the negative. But it's changing. But it's just that it's so hard for our civilization to move out of owning those negative and waste thoughts when we're still hearing only negative things in the news, or we see movies that are bombarded with hate and betrayal and you know, destruction. And so this is where I feel like individuals like you and individuals that are doing the work to wake our minds up and our consciousness up is such a big contribution on the planet. Aura, I'd like to convey our deep heartfelt thanks and appreciation for joining us on the air today, because we need to keep amplifying stories like this. I think the more our civilization and culture keep hearing about these things, then one by one trickling, you know, it starts to create that ripple effect, and individuals who would never even think about coming into a conversation like ours, you would find them full-fledged and ready to go. So thanks. Lots of congratulations on the new book once again. Please leave our listeners with a website or contact information so they could be a part of your journey as well.
Thank you so much, Sister Jenna, for having me back on your show. I so love connecting with you again. I can be reached at auranadrich.com. All my social media is auranadrich. And my website, auranadrich.com, and Facebook, Ask Aura, Aura Life Coach, Twitter, Instagram, again, auranadrich.
Now, before I let you go, if you could change the world, how would you do it?
If I could change the world, how would I do it? I would have everybody open their hearts up and ask them to look inside themselves and connect to the love that is so abundant in their hearts, and let us all shine that love and light on each other.
Aura, that was beautiful. Thank you so very much. All the best for 2016.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful nuggets that we got today for our lives. I think that the more we keep receiving these ideas and thoughts, and again, what touched me is this whole aspect of fear and how that can really cripple the way that we think and the way that we see ourselves. And, you know, the thoughts of negativity and feeling down on ourselves are not the thoughts to percolate or to nurture, especially in this year. So thank you to Aura for the work that she's doing. Now I would like to turn the lines to our beloved, amazing Sister Gita and hear what reading she has for us on this incredible day of light. Sister Gita?
Good day to you. Every little cell or thought in this little soul is happy and giving. And hi, beautiful souls. I am selecting from the book Beautiful Thoughts. This book can be obtained at any Brahma Kumari's place. And of course, that includes our meditation museum. And the thoughts are, as is my vision, so is my world. The only way I can change the world is by changing my own thoughts, hence my vision. It is like wearing colored glasses that color everything I see. When I wear the vision of seeing specialities and goodness, I am able to create a world of positivity for myself. Today, let me color my world with the beauty of my positive thoughts and vision. I trust we can do it. Have a wonderful day. Om Shanti.
Thank you so much. And on that note, my friends, all the very best. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Please do go to Huffington Post and Google yours truly, Sister Jenna. Take some time and just really enjoy some of the stories and articles that emerge, especially early in the morning for me at 3:30, 4 o'clock. So just go to HuffPost and Google Sister Jenna, and would love for you to travel with me on that journey of enlightenment and enrichment. Take care, everyone. Here is this love from Lucinda Drayton.
Love.